We've been talking about this series called Freedom. And we've talked several times all the way through Galatians. And usually we have the slide up there that has the broken chain to show freedom, but I forgot to put it in this morning. But the whole thing about the freedom that we have and that we see in Galatians is that we are free when we've come to Christ and we've accepted that gift. That's the bottom line. And as we get into Galatians chapter 5, it starts off talking about how we have this freedom. And, you know, just because we have the freedom doesn't mean we should just do whatever we want because of grace. But it's a thing about obedience and submission still to what God has said and the fruits that come out of it. And as I was thinking about it this morning, I thought of a film that came out probably just over 10 years ago, maybe 11, 12 years ago. And it was called Secondhand Lions. I don't know if anybody's seen it or not. It had some famous actors in it, but it's about this kid. He has to go live with his great uncles who are brothers, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. And they're just those kind of old guys that are just kind of grumpy because they feel like it, but they're really good people inside. And as they go through things, they start opening up to this kid and everything, and so they start doing more and inputting more into his life. And then finally, they had a lot of money, but they had it hidden away. And they finally decided they were going to start using that money. And so they have these salesmen that start coming by, and they would drive by the farm because everybody heard that they had money. And so it's like everybody tried to sell them something. And so they decided they were going to start gardening. They were going to have this garden, and they were going to have different fruits and vegetables and different things. And so they buy all these seeds from this salesman. And as the crops begin to grow, the little kid's out there with his uncles, and he's sitting there working the garden and everything, and he realizes, he goes, what row is this? And they're like, well, that's cabbage. And he's like, and what row is this? He's like, well, that's tomatoes. And he gets to the third one, fourth one, and you're noticing a pattern. And he looks at them, and then they look at him, and then they look down, and they figure out one thing. All of the rows look exactly the same. And what the salesman had done was he had put the same seed in different envelopes with different labels. And he looked at him and said, well, this guy saw us coming a long way off. So basically what they ended up having was corn, only corn. But the proof wasn't until it came out of the ground. You can think what you want about it before it's evident, but once it's out, then the fruit is evidence of itself. And this is kind of what we're talking about here. There is a fruit that will come out one way or the other. And here we're talking about the flesh versus the spirit. I need you to have two things. I need you to have your Bible or your app or whatever you have the thing on, if you have it, to Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And also inside your Connect, you've got this paper, and it will be helpful if you have that. If you don't have a Connect, just raise your hand. Jake will grab one, take it over to you. Okay, we got three or four. Andrea, you should know what's in there. You're the one who put it all together. There, we got it coming around. But that's just going to be helpful as we go through things. But when we look at the first few verses, it says in verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So 16 to 18 is talking about the war within. We each have a war within us. Happens day to day. We've got the flesh side, which is our sin nature, and we've got the Spirit, if we've accepted Christ as our Savior. You can't have the Spirit unless that has occurred. And so we have this battle that happens day to day in our lives. And it's a constant battle that will go on every day we wake up, their decision that we have to make. Because the flesh wants what the flesh wants, and the Spirit wants what the Spirit wants. And all depends on who we're going to submit to that day. You sit there and say, well, I don't get it. Well, let me put a more vivid picture into things. Go ahead and hit the next slide, Rylan. When I was a kid, I love people's faces right there. That was funny. When I was a kid, I used to think sumo wrestling was the funniest thing ever. Because you basically had a couple big guys in something that equaled basically a nappy running at each other and trying to throw each other out of a circle. And then as I grew older, I watched a documentary on these guys. And you know what? There's a lot that goes into being a sumo wrestler. It's not just being big, but there's a lot of stuff that they do in order to get that size. Okay? And so what they literally do, they will eat a meal that is about 4,000 to 5,000 calories each meal. Now, if you know anything about the daily values, that's a lot more than what they recommend in the health service. Right, Luhanga? So just a little bit more. And then the first thing that they do after they eat is they go to sleep. Because it's proven that if you sleep directly after eating, it helps get the weight to stay on. Now, most of us are trying not to do that. Let's be honest. But if you think about the flesh and the spirit like this, then it helps get a vivid picture. The flesh is a sumo wrestler and the spirit is a sumo wrestler. The one you feed more will be the stronger, will be the bigger, will be the dominant one in your life. So what do you want to do? You want to starve one and feed the other. That way the one that's supposed to win the battle is winning the battle. Because what it comes down to is who are we going to submit to? And our submission is the one we're feeding. Okay? Now, it's one of these things that if you think about it, when you think about it like this, you're sitting there going, okay, if I'm not submitting to the flesh and I'm submitting to the spirit, that means the spirit will begin to have the hold that he needs to have. Now, I want to stress something. We have to decide on a day-to-day basis who we're going to feed. The flesh and the spirit doesn't care how busy our schedules are. I mean, Chris and I have openly admitted several times, you know what? Sometimes we get so busy, we see the WhatsApp, the email or whatever, and we just kind of start work. And then we get to the end of the day and we realize, we didn't do it. We didn't have our time with God. We didn't get that time to sit down and have that one-on-one study with God and pray and have our devotions and stuff like that. And this is part of the problem, because that means that decision weakens the spirit in our lives because we're not submitting to him, and we are literally feeding the flesh and going, hey, this is going to come up. It's not something that we want to do, but we're either doing one or the other. It's not one, and then maybe sometimes we take a little bit of a holiday and neither one gets stronger. No, when we deny the one, we will strengthen the other or vice versa in our lives. But these things are constantly at odds. We may sit there and say, you know, we don't want to be controlled by the flesh or our sin nature. But if we're not taking the steps to feed ourselves in God's word, that's exactly what we're going to do. You sit there and say, well, how do you feed the flesh? What the world will say, if you look at the next slide, the world will sit there and say, well, you know what? The flesh goes, you know what? You should follow your heart. Has anybody ever heard that? I hear it all the time. Maybe just because it sticks out. Everybody's like, well, you need to follow your heart. Can I just be honest with you? That is the stupidest advice you could ever take. How many times when we were growing up as teenagers, we wanted to follow our heart and it led to something stupid? Let's be honest. Those of us who are past the teenage years, who's brave enough to raise their hand? I'll raise my hand. I followed my heart a few times and you know what? It was a dumb, thank you. It was a dumb, dumb choice. But in my teenage mind, I was going, no, man, I got to follow my heart. You know, in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That pretty much sums up why you don't follow the heart thing. It's going to push you and lead you to a place where it's not the best. And in fact, it's going to take you to what's contrary to what God's word says. We're constantly going to want to go that way if we're not doing what we need to do to submit to the Spirit. It's not something that we want to do. She's going to say, okay, if we don't want to feed the Spirit, feed the flesh, how do we feed the Spirit? We maintain a close relationship in prayer and meditating on God's word. And most importantly, we have to submit our will to the Holy Spirit. If we are following his will, we won't be following our flesh. That constant need, the next slide around, that constant need to be in God's word. Right there, the verse that's highlighted right there says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is the feeding of God's word into our lives and meditating on it so that we are submitting ourselves to his will. Now, I want to caution people a little bit, though, because sometimes I've heard people say, you know, Lord, give me more of your spirit. Give me more of your spirit. It's not a matter of more. When we accept Christ as our Savior, he gives us all the Holy Spirit we're going to get and seals us in that Holy Spirit in our salvation. What needs to happen is we need to give up more of what we have control over in our lives and submit it to his will. The more we begin to let go of what we want, the more we give our will over to him, and he has more to work with. I was joking with the guys yesterday, and we were talking about some things at the breakfast, and I said, you know, when I was younger, I said, okay, Lord, you know, I'll sing in the praise team, but I don't want to do, like, any items. I don't want to be up there singing by myself. You want to guess what happened next? They're like, hey, we want you to sing an item. I'm like, no. And I had a very spiritual answer, or spiritual sounding answer, to get out of it. And everybody looked at me and they're like, no, you're just coming up with excuses. I was like, okay, I'll do that. Lord, okay, I'll sing an item, but I don't want to lead the worship time, because then everybody's looking at me, and if I mess up when I'm leading, then everybody knows it. Guess what happened next? And it was like constantly God was going, are you going to trust me with more of you? The last thing I told him was, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. And then I figured out, I'm going to stop telling God what I don't want to do, because he keeps pushing that button and going, yep, this is what we're going to go for. But the whole point is this. It's not more of the Spirit. We need to give him control over more of us. We need to let go of our will. Let go of our desires of the flesh and let him guide those dreams and desires. I figured out something a long time ago. The verse that talks about, you know, God will give you the desires of your heart. Anybody ever heard that one? When you're a young Christian, you're like, yes, I'm going to ask for lots of stuff. When I was younger, I'd sit there, I'm like, Lord, you know, that car that I've got, it's not really cutting it. I was a teenager and I had this clunker that literally, I don't know how it moved. It looked like a pregnant roller skate. It was ugly as anything. And so I'm like, Lord, you know, give me a better car. And I'm sitting there going, God's going, you know what? You're missing the picture here. And as I grew in my relationship with Christ and was meditating on his word more and praying more and everything, I realized that what God does is he begins to change your heart. And when he gives you the desires of your heart, it's because he's changed your heart to desire what he's desiring for you in his word. And then the fruit that comes out of it is not for you, it's for others. If you look at it, the flesh is always pointing to me, 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 me. And the fruit of the Spirit is pointing the opposite direction. And that's the way it should be. And I think it's probably one of the hardest things to learn. I mean, when you're in your teenage years, you start to try to figure out the world, and we're working with the youth on Friday nights and everything. And let's face it, man, when you're a teenager, everything that's happening in your world at that moment is the biggest thing going on in the world, on the planet. And as you get older, you realize that wasn't really a big deal. But yet we still try to focus on us. But when we sit there and we decide to submit to the Holy Spirit and give him more of us to work with, the results are amazing, because we can't generate them. Now, let me just tell you something. We can't just simply decide to overcome the flesh. If we could do that, then we wouldn't have needed Christ to come and sacrifice himself and die on the cross and rise again. I mean, next week on Friday, we are remembering the sacrifice that he made. Sunday morning, we're celebrating the resurrection, and it's a great thing. That is what did it. Not what we just decide we're going to do in our heart. Because remember what it said about the heart? Because that's where we make the decision. Oh, and deep down in my heart, I'm just going to decide. It's going to mislead us. And I know Paul understands this, Because in Romans 7:15, he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. That's why I love Paul. Because he gets it. He talks to somebody who's thick in the head like me, going, hey, every time you sit there and say, oh, I don't want to do this, you know you're going that way. I am not strong enough to be the man I need to be for my wife, for my kids, for our church family, if I'm doing it in my strength. Not possible. And when I think of the moments that I try to do it, even though I know what God's word is, I sometimes sit there and I fall into the flesh and I sit there and go, I got this. I told the guys yesterday, as I was working on this sermon, talking about flesh and spirit, we were talking yesterday in the breakfast, and I said, guys, I got to be honest with you. This week has been nothing but Satan just swinging at me, just trying to hit me with everything he's got, because it's like I had to examine myself before I could preach this. And I would love to tell you that 100% of this week, I did great. Then I'd be lying to you straight to your face. And there's sometimes that I fell in the flesh and I'm just sitting going, yeah, stop doing stupid stuff. But it was those moments where I realized, you know what? I haven't read today yet. I haven't spent my time in prayer yet. And I'm weak. It's like trying to produce the fruit without the water, the soil, or the nutrients. It's just not going to work. Now, I want you to also remember this. This is not just a one-time decision. This is a daily submission that we have to do. There's a pastor friend of my father's. And I got to be honest with you, the first time he said this in front of everybody at church and stuff like that, I'm sitting there going, you're weird. And then I realized it was a point to what he was doing. He was doing something physically that he was trying to make sure that he was doing spiritually. And the first thing he does when he sits up out of bed, he puts his feet, and as soon as his feet hit the floor, he puts sand on his heart and he says, Jesus, you are welcome here. I submit to you today. And I'm sitting there going, the first time I heard it, I'm sitting there going, you got issues, dude. But then I realized he was trying to make a point to himself. If I don't start my day like this and purposely submitting myself to Christ in this moment, then I've already started the day wrong. I get it now. So it's not a one-time decision. It's a thing that we have to constantly do day in, day out, sometimes moment by moment. Have you ever had one of those days where it just seems like you can't get your thoughts straight because it's just like Satan's bringing every fear, every anxiety, every temptation, everything under the sun pointing at you in that moment, and you're just like, oh! What does God tell us to do? Be still and know that I am God. When we're still for a second and we recognize who God is, all of that stuff ceases to matter and ceases to attack and ceases to have any force because Christ already took care of it on the cross. He didn't give us these things so that we have this license to do whatever we want and then say, oh, well, you know, God forgave me. No, we obey out of a love and an obedience. That's something that took me a long time to understand when I would have an issue with my dad or something like that. I lied to him. And I couldn't understand, you know, what in some ways, what was the big deal? I mean, it was something little, Dad. And then I realized, you know what? I showed my love for him in the obedience to who he was in my life. He's my dad. When I was in his house, you know what? I needed to obey and listen to what he said. The way we show that love is by submitting ourselves to the Spirit and saying, Lord, I know where you are, and you're on the throne, not me. And that submission produces a fruit that is not just a blessing to us, but it's a blessing to other people as well. Now, I want us to look real quick at verses 19 to 23. And I want us to notice the acts of the flesh first, which is the next slide around. If you look at these fruit, I don't know how well you can see it, but do they look like the nicest fruits that you want to eat? I went through as many pictures of rotten fruit that I could to put one up there that would not make people sick, but still made a point. And this is the best one I could find. And I looked at it and going, you know what? I mean, if you notice this one over here, it's got some fuzz on it and everything. It's kind of nasty. That's the flesh. That's the acts of the flesh. We would never walk into a store and be like, I'm going to buy that one. But yet we choose to do that in our flesh every day. So if we look, it says, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. When it says that those who live in the area like this, they're talking about who make that habit of doing this over and over and over again. It's basically like you're sitting there going, I want to get that rotten apple or banana or pick whatever your favorite fruit is, and it's got some fuzz and fungus going on. You're going, this is the one for me. It's like entering a race and saying, I really want to lose this race. Makes no sense whatsoever. I guarantee you the people who are training for the marathon that's coming up in a few weeks are not going to get to the starting line going, man, I hope I don't finish. But when we submit to the flesh, that's exactly what we're doing. We're sitting there going, I want the worst of what I can have. We would never sit there and put this list of the acts of the flesh down and be like, this is what I want to achieve in my life. And then we have, by contrast, the other side. Starting in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And that's when you get the fruit like this. Now, if you think about the last picture versus this picture, which one do you want to eat? I mean, even if you don't like apples or grapes, you're going to want to pick the grapes. Why? Because let's face it, those look ripe, those look good, those look like healthy, and you're like, yeah, I could eat those without being sick. And you're going, yeah, this, I want the good stuff. And we see that contrast between the two. Let it be a visual reminder to us that we need to purposely every day make that choice to submit our will to Christ. Now, if you look at that paper that was inside Connect, I almost said contact. Why would I do that? Okay, and it talks, you know, how are we dealing with others, in the flesh or in the spirit? And if we look at the left side, this is how we don't want to act and react with people, regardless if they're a Christian or not. We don't want to do that. We don't want to react in the flesh. I mean, if you look at it, it says burning in lust for one another, judging one another, depriving one another, biting one another, devouring one another, consuming one another, provoking one another, envying, lying, hating, speaking evil, grumbling. Doesn't sound like the kind of person you want to hang around, is it? And then you think about it, there will be times that people are going to say stuff or do stuff in a way that's going to wound someone else. It's going to happen. If you grew up with a sibling, you know that at some point they will irritate you. And at that moment, you want to react in the flesh. Let's be honest. I have to be honest with you. My sister, I love my sister to death. My sister's like one of my best friends in the world. But when I was a kid, it's like she wanted to be my mother. I already had one of those. She was the one who gave birth to me. But my sister was constantly trying to tell me everything else, and I'm looking at her going, you're not my mom. Shut up. And let's face it, the list on the left is what I constantly did towards my sister. Now, in her mind, she was just trying to help me. And I was like, I don't need your help. And as I got older and I started realizing some of the reasons she did do certain things, I started to see her heart in the whole matter. Now, she wasn't perfect, but But it made me realize that the heart of the thing was, I should be treating her like the right side. Members of one another, being devoted to one another, honoring, being of the same mind, loving, edifying, accepting, instructing, greeting, waiting for one another. That's what we need to be doing as believers. There will be times in our church family, the people who come here on a normal basis, and if you don't come on a normal basis, we would love for you to start doing that. I got to be honest with you. We would love for you to feel at home here. But even amongst us, we are going to say things or do things in certain ways that will offend, hurt, wound each other in the church body. And we have a choice to make whether we are going to react in the flesh or in the spirit. Whether we are going to live out the fruit of the spirit or whether we're going to respond in the flesh. And there will be a huge determining factor about what happens after that point. Now, years ago, my dad, when he was teaching courses to pastors and stuff each year, he put this list in front of the guys and he said, if you can give me a situation where these do not apply and will not resolve a situation, I'll pass you for the year. You know, no guy was ever able to come up with one that wasn't addressed by this. Because if we say that we're going to submit ourselves to God's word and do it God's way, then we're going to have to respond on the right side of the paper. And let's face it, is there any drawback from forgiving someone else? When we don't forgive, all we do is put that chain on ourselves and let them hold it. But when we forgive and we respond in love, regardless of whether they asked for it or deserved it, we are living in the freedom that Christ has given us. And how are we going to sit there and ask for God's forgiveness and then not give forgiveness to someone else? This is every friendship, every marriage, every casual encounter with people. This applies to all of it. This isn't a situational thing. This is a life thing. We decide if we are going to live by the flesh or the spirit on a day-to-day basis. So we need to ask ourselves, are we going to submit to the Spirit today or not? Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't have that relationship with Christ and you sit there and say, you know, I don't understand all that. Or I've never made that choice. We would love to talk to you about it. We would love to tell you what it means to have a relationship with Christ and the freedom that he gives. So if you have any questions or something like that, please talk to Jeff or myself or Chris, and we would love to sit down and talk with you. If you don't want to come up personally, like Chris said, there's cards back there, and it even says, you know, I'd like to talk to somebody. Hey, do that, drop it in the offering box or give it to Kirsten who's there by the door, and we would love to follow up with you and do that. But let's face it, what kind of fruit do we want our lives to be showing? Want it like this or like those rotten apples that we had out there? Let's pray. Lord, we just we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are the one who makes the fruit in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the fact that your life bore so much fruit, and it was always loving other people, and it was serving other people, and it was caring for them, and it was always pointed outward. Lord, we want to do that. Lord, as a church, you know, today we're going to go out and pass out some leaflets, Lord. Lord, we pray for those people whose doors that those leaflets are going to go in. Lord, we pray that we would see multiple people here next week that haven't been here before. Lord, we want to tell them about the hope that we have in you and that in your name, that hope is alive. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we pray that you would just keep us safe this week, Lord, and show us how you would want us to respond to this today. In Jesus' name.